round, round, get around. I get around.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.
This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing.
Get around, round, round. I get around.
You're listening to the Beach Boys. Maybe the second best band I've ever heard.
I gotta find a new place
behind the Beatles.
Are hip.
Maybe the best American band.
My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around.
And our program exists because we like introducing you to our special guests every week. People that we think are impacting this community, this world, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And our guest today is the Vice President of Young Life, Ken Tankersley, known as Tank. Tank, thanks for being on our program today.
Bo, thanks for having me.
It's always fun talking to you and finding out what's going on in the Young Life family. I went to the May Avenue Methodist Church in Oklahoma City for 14 years. The pastor's name, as I recall, was Herman Ging, G-I-N-G. I'm sure he was saying the right things. I was not hearing anything. And I moved to Denver. I met Don Reverts. And the Young Life Club was started at Thomas Jefferson, where I went. And one day at lunch, Don explained to me the simplicity of what the Bible's about and how we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I said, why wouldn't everybody do that, Don? And he said in his unique, kind, sweet style, well, for the moment, let's don't worry about everybody. Let's just talk about you. And I said, well, I'm in. What do I do? But it was the Young Life style of ministry and Don style that led me to the conversion experience. I said yes to Christ. And certainly, as you'll testify to today, Ken, it's not perfection after that. We come as children. We grow up. We make mistakes. We venture off like I did through my sin nature that we all have. But Young Life is so valuable, and I'm so glad you're one of the national leaders, Tank.
Well, it's funny because we've been around as a ministry for 76 years, and for all of us, and for me, this is my 27th year on staff, and kids change. Shoot, they change every 2 weeks, fashions and trends and styles, and you don't have the walk anymore. You don't have the talk anymore. You don't have the uniform. You don't. The rest of the world sort of looks at adolescence, and for us, it's that 11-year window of adolescence, which now social scientists would say stretches to 24 or 25. So it's from junior high to college age, and even though, and again for us, for decades of ministry, kids are changing all the time, but the core of the gospel still rings true. That God loves you still is the message. Relationships still are the way to get there. And it still works. So you take the core of that messaging, like Reverts did with you, and you contextualize it to the group or the person. Or for us, we're in 103 countries now around the globe and 100 and some universities just within the U.S. And even for that, whether you're talking to a junior high student or high school student or college student or an adult, the core of the messaging is the same. The semantics may change. The language may shift. But even the need, sometimes it just is, it's slightly different. So if I'm talking to a men's group or to a junior high student, oftentimes the message at its core is exactly the same. The context of it, how it gets received, that's slightly different. So we've seen that over decades, or I see that even within the age. You're exactly right.
And someone said to me, Ken, that unless you get a hold of somebody by the age of 20, 25, it gets significantly tougher for someone to say, you know, I think I'm going the wrong way here. I'm going to stop, turn, and accept these things that the Bible presents as the truth.
You know, different reports, Barna report, Pew report, social scientists would say there is some high percentage, 68% or so was the number I've heard of late, where somebody will make a decision about faith. In junior high, we go, you decide what you're going to do, junior high and high school, your behavior. Then in college, it's what you're going to believe. It's more a philosophical shift. I actually think the greatest window may be in adolescence. In addition to that, I see that there are windows where an individual sort of wakes up and looks up and wonders. You can think of it's why children's ministries are such a big deal at churches, because the 28 or 30-year-old young couple with one or two kids of a certain age, 3 or 4 years old, will sit there and go, no, you can't do that, or yes, you can do that. They're essentially projecting morals onto a child, and at some point they're going, where are these coming from? How do I know what's right or what's wrong or what's true or what's false? And that's where, whether it's a ministry like Young Life or the church in its broadest sense, can really serve, because I think that's another window. Or you see halftime at a certain age in life, going from success to significance. That's where an adult male might go, what is this all about? We revisit those bigger questions in life almost at 5 or 10 year increments in our life, where the gospel has an entree. So I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I was thinking as you were speaking that Bob Belts and I used to do marriage retreats, and we stumbled on this truth that all, and if you're a parent listening today, please listen to what Ken Tankersley, our guest, is saying, Vice President of Young Life, and this little point I'm making. All relationships are reconcilable, especially the fact that God says in Revelation 3:20 that he's waiting for us to respond, and he's patiently waiting for us to say yes or no, even though many people spend their lives neglecting the decision and not getting around to it. But it's a yes or no answer, basically, to do you believe in the person of Christ and do you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior? But the only relationship that's not reconcilable is the relationship as parents that we have when our kids call us mommy or daddy. And they're the ones that determine the timeline there. How long is that going to last until one day they start calling us dad and mom? Hmm. Now, in my case, I really didn't have a daddy because he was a Major League Baseball player and he was great. And he should have been playing Major League Baseball because he was, like I say, great at it. But he was gone from February 1st till October 1st. So my mommy had to be both. But I had a great dad. I just missed that period that you were talking about where so many things are imprinted on your brain and heart that last forever. But again, that's why Young Life and what Ken Tankersley, our guest, does with his life is so critical. Parents, listen up. If your kids aren't attending Young Life at their school, they should be. I'm saying it's a healthy exposure to the life-changing truth that can carry them through not only adolescence but forever. So you moms and dads that are listening today, stay tuned here and hear what Ken Tankersley has to say, because mommy and daddy comes and goes, some different reasons. I mean, it's unfortunate we're trying to build our careers during those exact same years when kids are calling us mommy and daddy. So some men miss it for sure, but it's critical that you guys are alongside.
Well, you're absolutely right. I had a dad a couple years ago at a graduation party in his backyard. I'm standing next to him at the grill. There's all the aunts and uncles and friends are there, and we're celebrating son's graduation, and he pulled me aside by the grill, and he goes, I just have to tell you this. He goes, next to his mother and I, the most influential people in his life, in his son's life, was his teachers, his coaches, and this was an affirmation to me. He goes, and his Young Life leaders, the volunteer leaders in his life. So in the world, in the culture today, just like the story you just shared, we do need influence coming into our lives from, it takes a village. It takes a number of different people from different angles. I remember in a seminary class, a seminary professor said, your job isn't just to point kids to the cross. Your job is to take them to the cross. They will go as far as you go in that area. And he goes, and as much as you want to keep them at an arm's distance, he goes, kids today will need aunts and uncles and big brothers, and some of them even fathers and mothers. So he said, appropriately, you have to embrace those broader roles too, to really take advantage and affirm and acknowledge that we have a culture out there today that you go, kids are going to need it from all sides, not just from their mother and father, but there's influencers everywhere, and we can really be helpful.
I it's funny you say that, because all of a sudden I was making a list of the key moments in my life when I was influenced one way or another. This shouldn't make me cry. Fortunately, you listeners can't see me cry. If I hesitate, it's not because I'm lost. I just can't.
He's not an ugly crier, but it's not attractive either.
It's not good. But my mom, how's this for advice? She says, son, women were not put here for you to touch. She said, you keep your hands to yourself. And if you need to touch them, come see me. And you and I'll handle it together. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to put you in a cold shower till you're okay. Now that
we need that message
that
today.
Changed how I viewed all females
in that moment.
Yes, I had a coach one time when I was 16. I flew to Oklahoma. It was at a summer camp, baseball camp. He said, "Go suit up anyway. I know you're late." I wasn't loose. I hadn't warmed up with the team. I got there about the second inning because my plane was late. And he said, "Go suit up." And in the last inning, he walked over to me and he said, "Mitchell, pick up a bat and go up there and win the game." And I was, again, going to give him the excuse of, I'm not loose. I'm not even engaged in this game. But what overcame me was this coach's faith in me. And I went up off a pitcher named Bob Murphy. How do you remember that from 60 years ago? Who was throwing really hard. And I hit a monster home run. And as it left my bat, I was thinking, my coach is a genius, and I must be pretty good at this. But just one snapshot where all of a sudden he gave me confidence to go ahead for the next 7 years after that and be a ball player. But it is interesting. You get those teachable moments, and you better have the right person there.
And they're significant. I sat in the back seat of a station wagon with my young life leader in high school driving the car, and we were talking about all the kids at my school, my high school, 1,200 students enrolled, 286 in my graduating class, and I was a sophomore, a junior, and he said, golly, we really need to get more kids in the room. We talked about the vision of reaching the school and giving everybody a chance to respond to God's love for him. And they said, we just really need somebody to lead this. And he was driving the car. He was facing away from me. And he goes, well, you know who could do it? He goes, Tank, you could do it. You're a leader. And I sat in the back seat of the car, and I just remember almost a guffaw of going, he has no idea. And I said, I don't know about me. And then he goes, of course you could. You could lead this. And when I think of the dozen or so moments in my life in regard to just leadership development or vision, that's one of them. A offhanded, maybe calculated, but an offhanded statement from the front seat of a station wagon. And it wasn't even eye to eye. It wasn't even this monumental moment. It was just flippant. But I remember going, and I'm still that 15-year-old kid. It's decades later, but I'm still trying to reach that school.
And thinking, okay. Abe Lincoln said, I have been a success in life. This is nothing to cry over. I've been a success in life. This is when he was president. Because a friend believed in me, and I did not want to disappoint him.
Mm.
Sometimes that's all it takes. So, folks, if you're listening again, this is You Get the Blessing. Our special guest today is Ken Tankersley, and he's a vice president of Young Life, which is a ministry reaching our kids, doing for our kids more than we are able to do just as parents, and doing it in such a way that our kids are getting – the life-changing information from the scripture that you can have purpose and meaning in life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I think of a kid in my family that was really struggling. I'd gone and picked him up at the police station about the second time he'd been busted for drugs. And we drove around together all that afternoon. And he finally said to me, "Look, I want to smoke marijuana and I want to be a snowboarder. That's what I want to do with my life. Why can't you and the rest of the family just love me?" Interesting. That kid now, fast forward, I would say 13 years later, is a college graduate and a tremendous asset to the company he works for, does a great job, and is a very pleasant, loving kid and a positive member of society. But when he said that to me, I really was thinking, I don't have the full answer for that, because I really wish I could just say, I think that's great, very ambitious. You want to smoke marijuana and be a snowboarder, but, you know, welcome to the real world. I mean, that's kind of tough when you're not trained or equipped to answer that question.
Listen, the whole world sort of looks at that age, junior high, high school, and college, and doesn't know what to do with the teenager or adolescence, because it's in between. There's no other place in life that's almost like this. It's in between childhood and adulthood, right? You have the innocence, the openness of childhood, the playfulness, and you also have the sobriety and the seriousness of adulthood. And sometimes when you're working or talking with or driving around with a teenager, you see both those worlds at the same time. It's in between. It's like, I've heard it described as, it's like a sunset. It's not quite day. It's not quite night. It's right in between. It's like mist. It's not rain. It's not sun. It's in between. And that's why the rest of the world goes, I'm not exactly what to do with that age. That's why people like me or people in ministry like Young Life or others or a church youth group leader goes, I'm drawn to that, because you see two worlds at the same time. And you're able to walk with somebody during those years where it's adulting to some level, where they're bridging that gap between those two worlds and walking through the place. It's messy for sure, but it's also pretty beautiful, and there's nothing else like it.
And thank God there are trained leaders like you, Ken Tankersley, who are drawn to it, called to it, available to it. And I guess, again, I'm saying to you listeners, if you're in a situation with your own children or kids that you know, other family members, friends, explore this possibility that what they find in the Young Life Club and in the relationship with Young Life leaders is like nothing they've ever experienced. So I will always remember that season of life when Don Reverts and Young Life came into my life. Now, my kids, I can't believe this, but my children are 43 and 45 years old now. And when they were tiny little kids, 3-4 years old, I'd be speaking to a group of adults saying, financially help us with what we're doing here in Young Life. I want Young Life to be around when my kids reach high school age. And now they're in their 40s, yeah. And we're saying that to our grandkids, and soon our granddaughter will be a mom, and we'll be saying that to her kids. So it's Jim Rayburn in the 40s.
Yep.
Thank goodness said, let's do this.
Well, and the whole
critical.
Well, and the whole premise of Young Life, 1940, 1941, Rayburn was a youth pastor. Young Life's a non-denominational Christian ministry, but at that time, he was a Presbyterian youth pastor, where his senior pastor said, pretty simply, don't worry about the kids who are going to come to church. Go figure out how to reach the kids who would never come to church. So over the course of the next couple of years, they fumbled through all different ideas, but they realized, oh, they're at the local high school. Or now, they're at the local junior high and the high school and the college campus. So our goal is to work in partnership with the church and reach the kids that would never go there. not to replace the church, actually to get kids plugged into the church, which is messy work in itself. But our conviction is kids are, even though everything we see in the culture shows that people are disinterested, God is not a topic in the town square. You know, people aren't running to churches or to men's groups or to Bible studies or what have you. But just beneath the surface, the interest, the curiosity, the brokenness, the vulnerability, all you have to do is look out the window and go, it's volcanic. The desire is volcanic. All you need to do is have a relationship with somebody and get to a real conversation. And we see that on the high school or junior high or college level, adolescent level. But I see it all around the world. In fact, a lot of the things that we see around the culture today, I see as the culture trying to make sense of our own brokenness. And if a few conversations away is God there? Does God care? And what do I do with that? It's popping up all over again in a time of life where people would go, no, evangelicalism or a church or religion, it's an old way of thinking. Could not be more current, could not be more needed.
So just recently, my wife Gary and I were flying from Charleston, South Carolina to Denver, and we were on Southwest Airlines. And so you come in to Southwest, kind of in the cattle call, which I like, and you pick your seats, and Gary and I both prefer to sit on an aisle, so we found two aisles across. Against the window was a guy that I had started chatting with and said, you know, should we pretend we both have colds so we can try to keep this middle seat empty?
Yeah, available.
Yeah, which is not going to work when the plane's packed. But anyway, I saw a nice lady sit down. I mean, it's a four-hour flight, so you're looking for something pleasant, right? Not that I'm pleasant to sit by at 6'3", 215, but anyway.
No, you're the problem.
Yeah, I'm the problem child. So anyway, we're looking for the right person, just thinking, okay, we need this person to sit down. Now, you talk about a God deal. The lady who sat by me was Chinese, very well-spoken, and I bet she didn't weigh 90 pounds, 5 foot, so we had that going for us. And we had a very pleasant chat, introduction, and she said she had been sort of uncomfortable with the discussion she had with a kid that was maybe trying to pick her up or who knows what, a young teenager as she was getting on the plane. And I said, did that scare you? She said, yes. And I said, I wasn't trying to get into some heavy spiritual discussion, but I said, what scares you most about your future? What do you fear? And she said, well, 3 years ago, I became a Christian, and I still have fears. And she said, in this area, this area, this area. Then the plane took off, and I started to put my headphones on, and she said, she kind of put her hand on my arm and said, would you wait on that and talk to me? And I was thinking, isn't that the cry of so many kids today? Would you talk to me about something that matters? And she and I went the rest of the trip. She had about 10 pages of notes that I was writing out for her on things that I think about as a 68-year-old that she wanted to think about as an 18-year-old.
The best thing we can do outside of being good listeners is asking good questions. It's really one of the top qualities of the person of Christ that I love. You wonder, how did Jesus get into such transformational conversations with things like, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want to get well? And what can I do for you? And there's more, but those are four of the big ones. And as you go, that led to entire town and villages and everything. And you go, if we did as believers, if we listened better, and if we asked more questions, and we made ourselves available, because I'm guilty of the same thing. We put the headphones on and just do my own stuff for the next 2 hours on a flight. But because you were available, and because you sort of, you reached out to some base level, all of a sudden craziness happens.
Yeah, it was a God moment. In fact, we end the flight, and as we stand up, she hugs my wife, who she hasn't even been talking to, kind of like as a thank you, because he did talk to me. So, folks, whether it's literally or figuratively that you're receiving this, I guess I'm saying these kids are saying this to us. Would you please talk to me? And Young Life, led in this part of the country by Ken Tankersley, is doing a great job of talking to our kids. First, earning the right to be heard on the deeper subjects by talking to them about food or basketball games or camps or
meet
whatever.
Meet them where they're at.
Pardon?
Meet them where they're at.
Meet them where they're at, and you're doing it. So what do you got coming up in the next few months, Tank, that excites you?
Well, we're going into the camping season, so, Bo, you know this, but we're in all 50 states, 100 and some different countries. I just realized, just off of something I was working on this summer, we'll have over 70,000 kids just in the U.S. going to camp. 3,000 different individual trips, everything from mission trips to one of our 25, 26 different national properties. So that's the thing we've got going on. If you're interested in having your child go to a Young Life camp, just go to younglife.org, and we can find out where they're going, the Young Life area that's closest to you. Again, we're all over the country and certainly all over the state. That would be a big thing. And then if you're a prayerful person, please pray for safety of all those kids. It's a big deal for us.
Younglife.org. Look up camping for your kid, because I will say this. They will not be intimidated any longer than the first 10 minutes they're off the bus. They will find new friends. They'll find laughter they didn't know they had, joy they didn't know was available, probably a voice in the songs they're singing that they didn't know they had. And it is a group of kids striding out in the right direction, led by the right people. So, Tank, thanks for what you've committed your life to. Younglife.org, folks, please don't miss this chance, whether you're still a mommy or daddy or just a mom or dad or a granddad or a grandma like I am now. I got a granddaughter so excited she's going to Young Life Camp this year for the first time in Kansas City. So please look that up. And Tank, keep up the good work.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And we'll see you next week here, folks, on You Get the Blessing.
Get around, yeah, get around, round, round, round. I get around.